Sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Sun is actually, tried to come out a little bit. It's about to be sunset, but, hopefully we're done with the rain for a little bit. What a not a pleasant weekend with not a ton of rain, but a lot of mist and cold, and felt sort of like winter, didn't it?
It was a weekend
conducive. Is it on now? It is a hi everybody.
Can you hear me now?
Drew's not used to turning on all of our microphones lately.
That's right. Well, he's not used to all of us being here.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we got the.
There's only two of us here. We got both of us.
Yeah, we got the whole gang. All right. So I mean, I'm trying to cut him a break. All right. So we've got. It is. It was weather this weekend, sort of conducive to. To watching, right?
Staying inside.
Yeah, yes. I mean, whether it was watching, if you went and watched a movie or something, or if it was conducive to watching a lot of college football on Saturday.
Yeah, I will say the weather cooperated yesterday to be able to watch the Christmas parade.
Yeah, a Christmas outside. Parade. A lot of folks outside watching the Christmas parade on Sunday, but Saturday. Yeah, I mean, with a lot of college football, with an expanded playoff that makes. Conference championship games. I mean, you know what thought crossed?
Conference championship games are now useless.
Well, you know what thought crossed my mind watching the games this past Saturday was think about the mess they would have in previous incarnations of the college football postseason. Right now, with this group of teams, the mess they would have to pick two
if you had two, would really be tough.
Who's playing Indiana?
Two would really
be
tough.
Who's Indiana's opponent?
You're going to have a rematch with Ohio State, or is Georgia going to get in there? Is Texas Tech going to get in there? Yeah.
Could the computer numbers tell you Oregon is the best one-loss team in the country or something? You know what I mean?
Like, I sort of doubt that.
I know, but there's, I mean, there are. Yeah. I mean, there's some pretty good one-loss SEC teams that aren't Georgia. So I mean, it is the thought that like even in a 4-team playoff, like think about some of the teams that wouldn't get in, where it's like you're Texas A&M, and you went 11-0 and lost at Texas, and you're not even going to get into a 4-team. So like in some ways, I am glad that they've expanded the playoff and made it to where you have a wider net. Of teams.
Yes, to some point.
Yes. Is it a slippery slope, and could you get to a point where you're inviting teams that really didn't earn their way into a shot at the college football championship? Have you gotten there already?
Yes, I think you have. I think now that the committee's wording has, has allowed two group of five schools to be in the playoffs, I think that's going to change.
Can I ask, would you feel the same way if Notre Dame was in and Alabama was out? Would you still feel like we've cast, or is Alabama's inclusion after looking the way they did on Saturday and collecting loss number three?
And not dropping one spot in the rankings. That's probably the biggest shock to me, is that they didn't drop any at all in the rankings after they were dominated. I mean, they were flat dominated in that ball game. Georgia just methodically shut them down and scored a touchdown a quarter. And Alabama was very fortunate that they scored. But I mean, it wasn't a game, you might think when Alabama cut it to 21-7, you thought, well, Alabama could get back in hand. Georgia goes right on down the field, scores and shuts Alabama down. You know, from that point on again.
And to be clear, we've got a lot to talk about today.
We were
there for Alex Golish going an hour plus.
My goodness, Alex! I told the guys as they were wrapping up on the line, I told them we may call him Golong. My goodness, those are as thorough and deep answers as I've ever seen at a press conference.
And I didn't think he was. It's not as
he
though
wasn't he, filling. I
yeah,
didn't
that's
think.
What I mean.
No.
Yeah, like I joked. I joke with the guys afterward a little bit about it being, you know, filibuster-esque at times. But no, there was content. I mean,
he was explaining and going into depth.
That's the thing. There
more
was
more than we're used to.
Yes,
much more.
He was willing to go into on certain institutional things, certain administrative things. Mm-hmm. He was willing to go into a lot of detail and a lot of describing his process and describing, you know, how he comes to the conclusions that he arrives at. And I think, yeah, you appreciate that. You know,
I appreciate it.
And he can't, at the same time, you know, he doesn't want to go into specifics about, I think, players on the roster.
He's not going to get into personnel.
Yeah.
Players or coaches yet.
Yeah, I know a lot of folks, and I sort of asked him a roundabout way of getting him to talk about Deuce and Ashton,
right,
and also the prospect of.
And he gave you a very good but non-specific answer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I asked him, you know, sort of about what he prioritizes when he's assembling his quarterback room, and he you know mentioned that these, you know, he feels like he has guys that, you know, he likes the possibility of. And again, he was fairly vague, but the possibility of sticking with this group while also acknowledging the realities of they've got the transfer portal at their disposal and he's got the transfer portal out there to potentially add position.
And he wants to have as talented a 1-2-3, and right now Auburn has... Well, they have three. They have three quarterbacks that will be on scholarship with the addition of the freshman. That
right,
just signed.
But the news that Jackson reportedly you know intends to go into the portal and that may not be the end of it. Right. I mean, we'll see what the next few weeks have in store for Auburn and for Coach Golish.
So we've got a lot to talk about. Auburn basketball as was feared by some. I mean, you go up against another extremely talented, they're really talented. They're really tall. That Arizona team,
yeah.
Auburn, you know, Auburn played well for the first third of the game. Quarter of the game, I guess.
I mean, Auburn went 2-3 seasons without losing games like that. Right, and that's pretty rare for a college basketball team these days. I think, you know, no matter who you are, you've got a 20-plus point, game where it feels like, you know, it got away from you in the second half. Auburn's had two of them this season. They are against quite possibly the two best teams.
Well, they are the top two teams in everybody's polls right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple, and I'm not just talking about the undefeated teams. Like,
may be the best two teams. I mean, they're the best teams I've seen.
Yeah, Duke would have an argument. You know, Duke would tell you they're right in that conversation as well. Gonzaga's only loss is Michigan, but
was by 40,
and it was pretty one sided. But no, you're right. I mean, there are some. Like there's some. I mean, Michigan and Arizona are two of the very best. Having said that, you know, I think there were some fair. I mean, I don't know what did you think of, like, I, you know, Tahad plays really well to make it a game.
Tahad played
at
really
the
well.
Half.
He scored.
Goes on that run and you know scoring to make it a game
it was 12
at the
point
half.
Game. Auburn cut it from 20-12. Right at the end of the half, and then Arizona came out and immediately pushed it back up over 20.
Yeah, everything you would have said at the half Auburn needed to do over the next, like, 5 to 7 minutes to keep this game close and to put Arizona on upset alert. Like, you went 0-for, right? Like, you didn't.
You went 0-for, and they didn't miss a shot.
And they didn't miss a shot. And they scored 20-something in 5 minutes to come out of the, you know, to open the second half. And it's just... Yeah, from that point on, it just felt like it was not your night, and it was. I mean, their second time this year, I've watched a team. I mean, to be honest, I felt this way to an extent about Houston, but I wasn't sure if they had enough offense. But second time this year, I've watched Auburn play a team and think that team might that team might win it all.
Yeah.
But Stephen Pearl doesn't, you know, I mean, he's, I think there are some, is there anything, even acknowledging the quality of the opponent, is there anything that you come out of that game concerned about? Is there anything that you come out of that game?
Yeah, I'm concerned about a few things. I'm concerned about, you know, the front court again. I mean, Auburn's, you know, Auburn, I don't think is good. They're going to have a few games where they don't match up. Mm-hmm. They're in the front court, and that is a big problem. And I'm a little concerned about the, you know, last year was such a joy, such a pleasure watching the team make that extra pass and, you know, finding guys that were open. Thus far, I mean, Auburn is not a team that is that has a great assist-to-bucket ratio this year, and mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit of a concern, too.
Yeah, defensively, I think I'm a little concerned about just you know how much of a mismatch it seems to be when you're playing teams that are big and strong in the front court. St. John's is big and strong in the front court too, but Auburn, I wonder if they've got enough rim protection. Like that'd be one. The other one would be there are times when, it feels like they're playing it's not exactly 5-on-5 defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are times when it feels like not everyone is on the like this is a team that has to function like a band and everyone's got to be playing the same song defensively. And sometimes it feels like, you know, one guy's, you know, having a jazz solo right by himself and the other four guys are playing.
You're right. I mean, it appears to be a problem at times.
Yeah.
And it's something, I mean, that Stephen Pearl has, you know, consistently been concerned with.
And
Auburn's got to improve defensively.
And it's so foreign to this team because last year you had those guys mm-hmm. that had all played together for an extended period of time and knew what the other was going to do and knew when to help and when not to help and just, you know, it seemed like they were always making the correct assumption or the correct call.
Right.
And on this year's team, it feels like there's a lot of there's more confusion than you saw.
Yeah, you see more times after a bucket by the other team where guys are either looking or speaking to each other.
Yeah, confusion or frustration that you just didn't see, at least externally.
Right.
You didn't see last year virtually at all, and that's, you know, it's something that maybe you took for granted, like how well, that team could communicate with one another and how difficult it is to do that if you got a bunch of new players. The other thing, speaking of teamwork, offensively, yeah, you're right. Like you mentioned that like when this team, when like the last couple of years, you've had players coming into Auburn from other situations where they were the number one guy. Mm-hmm. And they had to adjust to having better teammates and realizing you don't have to take as many difficult shots. Denver Jones took a ton of difficult shots at FIU. It was one of the things we talked about. Was like his willingness to take tough shots was going to be something. Chad's willingness to take. Chad's film from San Diego State and Northwest Florida State. Like Chad Baker-Mazzaro took ridiculously difficult shots, and you thought, how is he gonna be able to? Because he had to. You know, these guys played in situations where they had to take really tough shots. Jani, right, was, you know, like to adjust to playing team basketball with good players around you is not for everyone, and it's very difficult.
Chaney's another guy. And at times Bruce had to encourage them to take more shots.
Yeah.
To do that. That is not the case.
No,
this year.
See, it seems like this year's team has, you know, and I would say Tahad and Keyshawn Hall come to mind as the primary culprits. Where it's like Overton at times as well.
Well, I think after Kevin's 29-point game, he wanted to see if he still had the stroke, and it wasn't there.
And you don't want to look. And the fact is, like Auburn is a top 40 net ranking team, and St. John's NC State are right. both really good mm-hmm. non-conference wins. Like, watch what their records are in a couple of weeks, right? Because they're both going to be. I mean, the St. John's win could be a quad 1A win. You know, the further we get, you know, the deeper we get into the season. But at the same time, yeah, I think if you're looking for something, even acknowledging Arizona is an excellent team, and that's one of the toughest road games you can play in college basketball. Yeah, I think seeing the team sort of panic and not play team basketball on offense and seeing guys willing to take really difficult shots that you wonder if that's where the, you know, how the possession needed to end. Like, that's something that, I mean, we'll see if that's just like something that happens when they're feeling pressure against a great team. Or if that's something that happens more frequently, because if it happens more frequently, that could open you up to really, you know, to kind of, to some of the runs that you saw Arizona make on, yeah, they, on
they
Saturday
had,
night.
They had at least three double digit runs in that ball game. So,
ladies and gentlemen, Brian Matthews.
Yeah, I don't know if you already mentioned this, but one thing Pearl talked about was. How tough it was for Auburn, the quick turnaround, playing NC State Wednesday night, you know, having to go early over to Arizona, and how that really was a drag on them, I think, physically and mentally, too.
Well, fortunately, I mean, well, I don't know, it's fortunate, it's finals week. So yeah. It's not like, oh, here's a break, it's finals.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they do get a few days off before they get Chattanooga and the Hoopsgiving, and then go to Indianapolis.
You know what's interesting about finals? You know, when we were in school, you had finals week and you took all your finals during that week.
Right.
Well, from what I've been told, like a lot of the football players that have online classes, they're already done.
Yeah.
So it's maybe not kind of like finals week used to be, at least for the student athletes necessarily, but still, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a week off between
right.
the next two games, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all both
you
on
used
Saturday.
To, you
yeah.
used to have to get the blue book.
Yes.
That's right, your number two pencil.
Ticonderoga yeah. number two yeah. pencil,
yeah. Yep.
freshly
yep.
sharpened. You know, that's, yeah, I think that's...
So many things now.
It's gone the way of the dinosaur.
If you tell, you know, a young person about that, they'll be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah, they give you that look. All right, we will get to our first break. Brian Matthews joining us, Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls. Come on in and join us. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And that number is 334-321-1390.
Or you can catch a podcast, The Drive, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, ESPNAU.com, ESPN. You can check out the just go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. If you miss any of the show live, we update them as podcasts and put them on the web.
Just underway, so come on in and join us here on
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews in from AuburnSports.com. Drew at the controls. And let's get to The Drive Hotline. And Spectre gets us started. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. Heard something today that was really upsetting. I think I heard it before, but it really brought me back to beg this question to come out to Matt, to Brian, actually. Because he's the guy that goes to ask the questions.
All right.
And, I heard about Hugh Freeze and what was our last coach before Freeze?
Harsin. Brian Harsin.
Harsin. Okay. We hired these coaches with all good intentions, with all this background that they had, so on and so forth. Mm. We didn't hire coaches to come in here and destroy our team. That's a given. And with Harsin, he came in here and basically refused to recruit. And he didn't come in here with that intention. What happened after he got here to make this man just shut down? All right, Freeze. We hired him for his offense, for his recruiting, and his quarterback development. He came in here, recruited good, but shut down. We lost two out of three of his. He shut down on developing people, especially quarterbacks. And this is the part that I heard, that he would leave the offense to the offensive coordinator and other people to develop a game plan. And he, during the game, Freeze would change the play, and the players had no idea why are we doing this? We didn't even practice this. So my question is to Brian.
Yep.
Please ask.
I don't need to ask. I already have the answer.
Huh?
I already have your answer. Yeah, if you're ready for it. Yep. So,
all right. I just want to know what happened to these men once they got to Auburn and shut down.
Okay. We'll start with Harsin. He just wasn't good at that part of his job. He was terrible at it.
He never really had to do that, Spector. Right. At Boise, they were the destination. Yes. They were they recruited, for the most part, players from that part of the country. And a lot of them just wanted to go there, play on the blue field, go to Boise. Yeah. And I think that's something that Brian Harsin sort of expected would be the same thing, Auburn is a destination. And he felt he could also develop players that didn't necessarily have to be, you know, quote, five stars.
Yeah. And I think that plan would have worked, Spector, if Auburn wasn't in a conference where more than half of your schedule is recruiting like a national champion.
Right.
Right. That was new to Brian Harsin.
This job was just too big for him. Okay. He just was not ready prepared for it.
Before you go to Freeze, A.D. Green is hired Harsin. Mm. Wouldn't there be some red flags popping up everywhere that he had to do these things once he got here?
There should have been, but Alan Green made a terrible mistake doing that. And
just assuming that he would come in and be able to adjust.
Yeah, and it was there was a story, and I think it was after Harsin's first year, because you have to also remember, COVID was COVID had upended recruiting for a lot of people in 2020 and 2021.
It really upended Auburn, though.
Yeah, but then there was a story, I think after Harsin's first season, that had quoted a couple of high school football coaches, you know, from prominent programs in the state, saying, "Yeah, I've still never met him, and he's never been here." And prominent things that
didn't go to the coaching clinics and conventions.
Well, the thing in Macon that Don Dunn talked about going to every year, the Georgia Coach of the Year awards, things like that. So I think that part of the job was and you know what, and it was maybe an overcorrection to then emphasize recruiting to the degree that you land on Hugh Freeze as the ideal replacement for Brian Harsin. But when Harsin's recruiting produced those kind of results, you thought,
you had to have someone who had a proven record of being a closer in recruiting, and it wasn't a crazy thought that it would be a pretty good offense, because his offenses at Liberty were still pretty good.
All right, in regards to the second part about Freeze. This is something Justin Hokanson, my coworker, reported, last year about how he would not be in every single offensive meeting with the quarterbacks, and he would not be completely knowing exactly everything that was gone over the offensive game plan, and then would show up on game plays and call something that maybe they had not practiced that week.
And that is a problem with a head coach being a play caller, because head coaches, generally, it's very difficult for a head coach to be in every single meeting of one position. Alex Golish isn't going to be in every meeting of the quarterbacks. Right. He'll be in a lot of them, but he's not the play caller.
Exactly. So that was a big problem. I think it was a problem with Peyton Thorne. And then I think, again, it was a problem last year, along with him making Jackson his guy and paying him so much money and probably feeling obligated to continue to do that longer than he should have.
All right, Brian, two more questions.
All right.
True or false, is Arnold going into the portal?
Yes, he is.
Okay, second question. How many up-team offensive linemen do we have that are freshmen and sophomores have sat on the bench, and what is their progress? Is there any progress at all with these guys that have been sitting around for a couple of years?
I mean, that is a very interesting question, and it's hard to know who from that group is actually going to be guys that, could eventually be starters. Not just starters, because every team has starters, but good starters, guys that can be quality SEC players.
Can I point out, Spectre, like you're asking about offensive linemen. You've seen as much of them as we have when it comes to actually seeing them on the field.
No.
But specifically,
on the field in games.
On the field in games. How much have we seen of Ty Buster? Right? Like people say, people say that he sounds like a prospect. You know, Seth Wilford was the number one junior college.
Jacoby Ward. I mean, we saw a little of Cale Ellis. We've seen a little of DeAndre Carter. But I mean, we haven't.
I think Spectre's raising a very interesting point, and I want to see. Because like the dust is going to settle, in the second half of January, and you'll have a lot of answers about of these.
I would say it'll be settling by mid January.
Sure. Yeah, so the
by
first
mid January because you're going to want to have these guys in school
these next 6 weeks.
For spring.
These next 6 weeks are huge as far as which freshmen and sophomores, I think between, and the offensive linemen are a huge, that's a huge part of it. But the guys that there are guys you've seen, there are guys you haven't seen. And how many of those guys want to stick around and how many of those guys are wanted by Alex Golish and this new staff, that's a huge part of what this roster looks like next season.
Yeah, and I think you guys named the young guys that I would point out, but Ty Buster, certainly a guy I would like to see. He's an undersized tackle at 6'3", which it seems like Auburn always has these guys, but maybe he can move over to guard and be a good player. Jacoby Ward, another freshman who redshirted, who, from what I've seen, is a guy that can move people and create space, which is what you want at guard. We saw the young guy, the freshman starting
Cale
center.
Ellis.
Yeah, Cale Ellis, who I would not – you know, if you did or did not like what you saw from him, he was 17 years old, and he was the youngest player in FBS football. So cut him a little slack and think that experience is going to make him a much better player going forward. Probably a starter next year and probably a really good player.
Yeah, could be at guard or center.
I keep mentioning Senda, too, as another younger player. You know, he just finished his second year. Yeah. But he's a guy that they've talked about. He's been seemingly a play away.
Well, DeAndre Carter's a guy.
They talk him up, and then you never see him again. So I don't know. And then DeAndre Carter, you mentioned, is, again, another guy that his redshirt year we heard a lot about. And then we didn't see
him much.
Right, so that just makes me wonder. But the other thing I want to point out about this group is this is a new staff coming in, new offensive line coach they've already hired. They've got they're going to lose most of the starters, so they've got to find a way to evaluate them, and they can go back and watch practice film. But they've got to do all that, make these decisions, and see what they got and
what's in the portal and what can they get from the portal.
Can they depend on DeAndre Carter or
Jacoby Ward, those guys.
To be a starter next year.
Yeah, right.
And if not, boy, you better go out and get a good guard, and you probably got to pay a lot of money. And what about offensive tackle again? You know, that's an issue that has plagued Auburn for, it feels like, a decade.
And you don't have to tell Spectre these things, right? Spectre, you've been raising the alarm about that for a while.
Yep.
You are so right, Dan. All right, guys, good stuff. I'll see you later.
Good hearing from you, Spectre.
Seems like if you want to go, it's kind of like quarterback. If you want to go with a younger player, you'd feel a lot better if he beat out some guy that's been on the field and has tape, right? You don't want anybody winning. You don't want your left tackle winning the job by default.
Yeah.
Right? Like you'd love for your left tackle if he's a guy making – if your left tackle is going to make career start number one against Baylor – in that game next year that we presume is the season opener in Atlanta.
Yes.
Like, if that's going to be career start number one, you'd like for him to have maybe beaten out somebody with some career starts
Let me give you an example. Tyler Johnson will be here. If he's back, he'll be a junior next year.
Right.
He has some starting experience. Yep. Barely played, if at all, this past season, right?
Yeah.
But the season before, he started some games.
Played a good bit.
So was he?
He was the Percy Lewis alternative, right?
Right.
At the beginning of the 24 season.
Has he developed enough? Is he ready to step up and be a starter now, or do they need to go out and get a left tackle? Or I think he actually played more right tackle.
He did.
This year, but
I mentioned.
I don't know. I mean, they got to figure that out.
We talked about Tyler being an option if they wanted to send a message to one of the two penalty prone tackles in the first half of the season. I mean, there was
but they didn't do anything. They didn't make any changes. They kept going back to him
until the last three games when they made a move there at center. Right.
Right. Yeah. Move Mason into center.
And even that was sort of your hand was forced by injury.
Yeah. because yeah, Connor
to make
being
those
hurt.
Kind of moves. But
now that there's the key. That could be the key to the offensive line if Connor Lue is back.
Yeah, I think he will be back.
Then you've got that anchor there at center, and the guy who can make all the checks and the calls there.
And the other question is Xavier Chaplin, right? He does have a year of eligibility. He probably came here thinking, I'm going to play here a year, and I'm going pro.
Right.
There is no way
he's going to have that.
If he's going, he's not going to be a high draft pick, right? So
he could seemingly help his draft stock with a better year of
college football. I don't think he could hurt it.
But does Auburn want him back as a starting left tackle, or do they want to go try to find somebody better?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know either. Yeah, that's
really good question. All right, good stuff there, Spector.
I would have to ask, what does the eligibility look like for the starting offensive lineman at South Florida? Right, there's also a question of
three of their guys were in their fifth or sixth years. Okay, so yes, I don't think all three of the guys that earned any all conference honors for them are out of eligibility.
Right,
there's definitely going to be some movement there.
Yes,
probably starting at quarterback and receiver for sure.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Uncle Ollie, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, and to the Drive hotline we go. And Uncle Ollie is up next. What's up?
Hello, guys.
Hello, Unc.
Hey, man. So on basketball, just real quick, I've never played basketball. I've watched a lot of it. But I figured out over the years that if you're bigger, stronger, and taller in the front court, you have an advantage.
Yeah, if you've got any athleticism at all or any coordination. Yeah,
the tallest teams
don't. You know what Arizona and Michigan do?
The tallest teams aren't always the best teams, but a handful of them tend to be among the best teams. And Arizona's. In an era of super teams, right? Where if you remember, the advanced metrics last year told you that the four teams in the Final Four were four of the best teams of the last 20, 25 years, right? Like in this era of guys squeezing every drop of eligibility out of their college basketball careers, Arizona's one of the best teams I've seen in the last couple of seasons. And it was, they flexed their muscles in a big way.
Yeah. And the two teams we played that have just huge front courts, we just don't have an intimidator. I mean, Murphy is probably the closest we have, but the two teams we played with just huge front courts, they just dominated us. And so we just don't have it's obviously hard to find another Janai and a Dylan, somebody that's sort of an intimidator. If you come in here, we're going to make you pay for it. We just don't have that. So it makes it difficult.
It does, but I think Auburn has played the two toughest front courts in the nation by far already in Arizona and Michigan. I don't think it's close to any other team. And they have played a team like Houston that has a really good front court and beat them. So it's not like Auburn is completely unable to compete. I don't think they'll see front courts close to Arizona and Michigan in the SEC for most of the season. So yes, I agree with you. Those were tough matchups for Auburn, but they're also great learning experiences. This is still a team with 10 newcomers, and it's going to get better as the season moves on, as we move into February, March.
Yeah, I don't want to panic over any of the things that we mentioned because you do keep in mind how good of an opponent Arizona is. At the same time, Uncle Ollie, you're right. I think the rim protection feels like something that could consistently come up this year. Interested to see if Aporum can work his way into the mix at all, because you do have some size on the bench that's not.
Yeah, Steven even said they're gonna have to get him in.
Yeah,
some playing time.
I think there's something there, and we'll go ahead.
Yeah, but I keep reminding myself it's December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so obviously this is what December's about. You figure out what you got to do to get better. So that part I totally get, and so I'm hoping that this is all, and when we're playing like a killer schedule, I understand that. And the good thing is none of these losses to great teams like this hurt you in the end. So it's a great experience. So.
It is. They do need to get some wins, and they've got some more tough ones coming up. I don't know how good Chattanooga is, but I'm guessing if Auburn scheduled them, they're probably the favorite to win their league. You know, that's how it usually works
out. Well, remember, they had a tough time trying to find an opponent over there in Atlanta.
That's right.
Chattanooga,
right.
I think, was like the third, team that they had lined up.
But then they still got Purdue, who was number one and fifth in the country. And is there one more?
And here's the other thing I wanted to talk about was so if you're an Auburn fan or Alex Golish or Coach Golish,
Wow.
Oh, man.
Oh, what
that
a cliffhanger.
Was it was
tough.
Like he led us, if you are, then.
I hope that wasn't his question.
I am casting the check and going to the beach right away. That's what
if
I'm doing.
If you are. No,
that was my answer.
Although he's been, he's been in the Tampa Bay area for the last couple of years.
I'm taking my buyout.
All right. He's been to the beach. I think he wants to.
That's just me.
Yeah. No, we chat a little bit about Tampa Bay eats and Auburn's great chicken tradition.
Chicken finger tradition.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. Talking after the press conference with coach,
I tried to go ahead and plant the seed, to have him on, because somebody the other day had passed along that Alex Golish was a regular on a show called The Drive down in Tampa, and it's like, that's a natural. He's used to doing it. He's he wouldn't have to worry about saying a new name. I told him he's welcome anytime to come on.
Although if he's willing to go an hour plus every Monday, I don't know what there is left to talk about right after a press conference like that one today. No, it was great.
Man,
great
just,
to hear.
Just,
him.
Just wait till his personnel questions to be asked.
Exactly. Oh, wait till we got something
set aside an entire morning or afternoon.
Because we really could. I mean, I think for a variety of reasons. I think the fact that you've got the portal looming and the fact that you don't. I don't think he really wants to get into those.
No, you don't want to get into specifics right now.
Couldn't ask about specific players. Wait until we can.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and he's going to be willing to talk about
now,
it.
Now, he said that he said something about a release later on today. Remember?
Yes.
When I asked him, was that just the special teams coach?
No, this is going to be their staff so far. But from what I was told, unless something has changed the last, say, 60 minutes or so, it's just going to be most of the guys we've already confirmed.
The guys we've already heard?
Okay. Right now, there's no plan to put anybody new on that list, but they're in the process right now of doing it, so you never know.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently, they've added adding a special teams coach from Pitt.
Yes.
And I did get him at least to talk about his offensive coordinator.
Yes.
So, Joel Gordon. So that was good. But yeah, all right. Well, I think we have Uncle Ollie back with us. Uncle Ollie, we left us in suspense there. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I got cut off. So, my question was, do you think as an Auburn fan or as Coach Golish, it's more important to win early or build for the future?
Both.
Yes.
We both have the same answer in high school.
And he addressed that today. I mean, he talked about what he wants to do is build this team and develop players and have them in the program for 3+ years.
But
Auburn fans want to win, and he knows that they want to win as much as possible this fall.
Yep.
So that means you've got to go out and get the pieces, as many of the pieces as you can, to try to help you win. But I think what he would like to do would be to do what Alabama and Georgia and some other schools have done.
I asked him about this. There are two or three questions about this kind of whole deal about building a roster.
Right.
Yeah.
Is to, to have as many players as possible that you're building up, and then be able to see what those holes are and fill them, not have to go into the transfer portal wholesale every year.
Yeah, Auburn just finished up with the worst class and it's in the Rivals history, which goes back 99.
Right.
So there's obviously going to be more holes to fill than normal. So I do think this portal class is going to be one of the wildest ones we've seen.
And we went ahead and bumped up from 85 to 105 scholarships. Yep. So you can take chances with a few guys as
That's
well.
That's a good point, too. But I do think once everything settles down, it's going to be we're going to try to sign as good a high school class as we can. We're going to supplement through the portal, and we're going to try to retain our good players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know in a perfect world you want to do both. But here was the reason for my question. So I know everybody has this emotional attachment to some of the players that are on our roster now.
Right, that's very true.
And I'll just go ahead and call them out, Deuce Knight. But if you have a chance to get Byron Brown, mm-hmm. who has 2.5, almost 3 years of starting versus a guy that's had
one
start.
Yeah.
And threw for three. I mean, look, if Byron Brown was anywhere else, wouldn't we be after him in the portal?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people are going to be after Byron Brown.
Yeah.
Exactly. So my point is, people need to get over this emotional attachment to Deuce. If he wants to be in Auburn and he wants to, you know, be a quarterback at Auburn, then great. He needs to stay. But when you wipe out your social media of everything Auburn, and to me, you almost become a diva. And I don't think Golish is going to put up with that. So when you start wiping out everything Auburn on your social media and you start acting like that, as an Auburn fan, that really sort of turned me off, to be honest with you. And I'm a Deuce Knight fan. But you're either, you know, in or you're out. And I understand all this, how life is now. Everybody wants to start now. But, you know, sometimes life's hard, and you have to earn it. And if this guy comes and you have to sit out or compete and you don't win it, that's just the way it is. But to be held hostage, those days are over, I think, with Golish. I just don't think he's going to put up with that.
All right, just a few things on Deuce. Now, I don't know exactly what he did with social media, but I can tell you he is not the type of a diva personality at all. This kid has a great attitude, works his tail off, really uplifts his teammates, really a great young man to have on your roster, I think. And I think if Auburn can, they're going to try to keep him no matter what. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to try to bring in Byron Brown, and I think they're going to try to keep Deuce Knight too. That's my opinion. I don't know that. I'm not reporting that as a fact. The issue with this is you can pay your backup quarterback up to a certain amount, right? But if another Power 2 school, or maybe Power 4 school, says, hey, we want Deuce Knight to come here and be our starter, and we are willing to pay him starter's money, I mean, that's going to be hard for him to turn down. So this is how college football is, especially at the quarterback position. At some programs, yes, you can convince those kids to hang out because those programs are proven national championship contenders every single year. But you can even look at Georgia this year. They lost their 5-star quarterback commit because their quarterback, Gunnar Stockton, is returning, and he wanted to go to Vanderbilt.
And Diego Pavia is not,
right?
Finally.
Right. Yeah. So it's just tough to hang on to these top guys.
And I know we got to take a break. Appreciate the phone call. And I don't want to pretend to know the answer there. But it feels like if it ultimately becomes a choice between keeping Deuce Knight or bringing in Byron Brown, like, I mean, Byron Brown's track record is very impressive. And we have, in the recent past in the SEC, examples of quarterbacks from the mid-major level following their coaches to the SEC and making an instant impact. Diego Pavia followed his coaches to Vanderbilt. John Mateer followed his coaches to Oklahoma, and both of those quarterbacks won a great deal in their jump to the SEC. You know, I could understand why it's a no-brainer for Byron Brown if he wants to stay in college football and play at the, you know, at the SEC level.
Yeah, he knows the offense that he'd be going into at you know, at Auburn.
And he's a guy who, you know, seems to be as good as just about anyone who could be changing teams in the transfer portal this offseason. And if that costs you a quarterback who's currently on the team right now, I wonder if it's...
I think that's worth the price.
I think it is, too.
It's tough. Hey, we need to get to our final break of hour number one. Yellowhammer, hang on. We'll be right back here on the Monday Drive.
when Bones get out of
Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Got about a minute or so, Yellowhammer. How you doing?
Hey, afternoon. Jumping on your thing about the basketball then and the playing the teams with the big front courts and how one caller alleges we don't have the counter for that. Are we pretty much relegated to we better shoot good and we better shoot well at the foul line, or are we pretty much behind the eight ball and there's not much we can do? How do you play around that?
That's a really good question. Auburn's got a 7-foot freshman who's under, he's thin. They're going to have to play just to get a little more size there. I think Filip Jovic is getting better, but he's 6'8".
You got to go right at him. You got to try to get him in foul trouble. You got to try to push the pace and make him tired. Like there's ways to try to make being undersized and fast a weapon and make it play in your favor. But if you play in the other, like,
It is good to be able to shoot well. Though,
yeah, and shooting threes helps. Appreciate it, Yellowhammer. Good stuff.
And the other thing is, Auburn's not going to face bigs like this unless they get the NCAA tournament again.
No,
it's just not going to happen. So it's not like these guys are like regular big guys. These are like the best big guys in the country.
All right, we're halfway done. Love to hear from you in hour number two of the Monday Drive.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian, Matthews from AuburnSports.com, all here in the studio with Drew at the controls. And we'd love for you to join in anything on your mind sports-wise here in hour number two of the show. We didn't really get into that much discussion about college football over the weekend. Brian came in. We were talking some basketball. We went on into that. We'd love to get your thoughts. Our listeners, we'll give you ours. We talked a little bit about it. There were some surprises, no question, in the championship games over the weekend, resulting in a different combination of teams. You got two group of five teams in the playoff.
Yep.
Notre Dame is not out in the playoff.
And took their ball, went home when it came to bowl game.
I don't blame them. Thing is, I don't blame them. I mean, look, I think Auburn fans can relate. How exciting was it to play Central Florida in the bowl game after you were dropped out there in 2017?
Maybe
that's
not
different.
Too
it's
exciting,
different.
But I don't think anybody at Auburn was going to deny that.
No, I mean, the thing is, there were only four teams in the playoff as well then.
And that to me is – like if you can,
I think the bowls.
You can expand the playoff. You can expand the playoff, or you can tell me about these prestigious bowl games.
Yeah,
but both feels like corporate greed. That's what it feels like. It's a cash out. Like
so,
that's what it. I mean,
so
it's
what is
cash
it,
grab?
Is it like 10 teams that decline bowls now this year?
Well, not to mention the 5 and 7 ones that had opportunities, right?
At least a half dozen. It was like 6 or 7 5 and 7 teams, including Auburn.
And 7 teams shouldn't be in bowl games.
They should not.
Bowl games need
They should not.
The
there
teams,
are too many bowls. Right. And now more and more teams are saying, I mean, there are teams. Notre Dame wasn't the only decent team
that
declined bowls. I mean, teams are like, look, we got to worry about our roster. We don't know who's going to be opting out because they're going into the transfer portal, and we're trying to figure what we're going to get.
And
you're not making enough money now, I don't think, to be thinking about playing in some of these just nothing bowl games.
And I did not care at all about some of the bowl matchups last year, and there were, you know, record high ratings or whatever. And I think some folks might think that now that more folks can gamble on these games, they have more interest than they did previously. I don't care about the, like, and,
no, I don't,
and it's a bummer too, because I do love college football, and I think that it's a shame that these games feel like such sort of unnecessary exhibitions now in the aftermath of a, and I'm sure they, you know, they can be meaningful for fan bases that haven't been to one in a long time or rarely get to experience it. But even I'm seeing, even at the mid-major level, you know, some groaning from certain places about where they got picked to go and the fact that they're going to a bowl at all. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it's you know, I think this is a necessary, like, it was unavoidable once you started expanding the postseason,
yep,
that you were going to take the luster away from these bowl games. And seeing, you know, something like Notre Dame not wanting to participate, yeah, like, I think that's not all that shocking if you thought you were making the playoff and you thought you'd done enough to get in and you don't get that spot. And look, someone was going to have a valid beef, right? If you leave,
oh yeah, no question.
With the Duke loss sort of taking Virginia out of the mix, mm-hmm, and now you had between Miami, Notre Dame, and Alabama, you had someone who was going to be pretty unhappy with the decision on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think Alabama, Miami would have turned down the bowl bid though.
No, I don't either. But you know, here's something. I don't think I said this on the air. If Alabama played like a team that knew it wasn't a problem they were in, didn't they? I mean, they played like it didn't matter.
That was
as lackluster, yeah. Yeah. as emotionless a ball game for Alabama. It's just like, hey, we're in. Who cares? Well, doesn't matter. And that should put an end to these conference championship games.
I agree with that 100%. They are a team though that can't run the ball, and when you become one dimensional on offense, defenses are just going to get better and better and better, yep, at making you look bad in the other part of your game, which is the passing offense. So, you know, I Auburn played well enough to win that game. You know, I think Georgia with better players and more time.
Oh yeah,
looked even
absolutely
better.
Absolutely, they did. I was thinking, you know, in basketball and baseball, you hear the committees talk about, well, we had to consider how they played coming down the stretch. How did Alabama play coming down the stretch? They lose to Oklahoma. They beat whatever Illinois North, you know, whatever directional school, and then struggle against Auburn and get dominated by Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with all that, but I still don't have a problem with the Notre Dame snub. I mean, Notre Dame lost to A&M. They lost to Miami. They only have one win, I think, over a top 30 team. Is that
USC?
That right? Yeah.
They beat USC, but it's the only, you know, kind of needle moving win. You can say, hey, say with Notre Dame, you lost to the two best teams you played. You can say with Miami, you know, you had opportunities to, you didn't even make your conference championship game, and with Alabama, like Bill said, you could look at November. How about Alabama getting in, and they'll have a rematch?
They get a rematch.
That's
Oklahoma.
One thing I don't like about these.
Too many rematches.
Why can't they
move them around a little bit? You got Ole Miss, Tulane,
make adjustments
rematch,
so we don't have these. So
yeah,
you know, it's I haven't looked at it, but I think it's probably pretty balanced this time. But to make sure you don't have all SEC teams on one side or all Big Ten teams on one side, I think it's fine this year. But I think it's okay to do those little adjustments there.
I agree.
One thing on Notre Dame, which I've talked about in my column. I looked at it, and the five teams that are placing from this year to next year on their schedule, that includes A&M and Arkansas. This year, those five teams were 37-24. Next year, the five teams they're replacing with are 25-35. So their schedule is getting, unless those teams get a lot better, it's getting worse next year.
Well, the committee does seem to value record as opposed to...
It's supposed to be number one. Strength of schedule is supposed to be there on their
evaluations.
Supposed
to be. Yeah, there's a lot of things supposed to be with the schedule, with the committee.
Yeah, whatever the flavor of the week is.
That's exactly right. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it, and I think Pat is up first this hour. Hey, Pat.
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys. Well, you could see it coming when they moved Alabama to number nine, and then they moved Texas ahead of Vanderbilt. They basically blocked Vanderbilt, because Vanderbilt would have had the best case scenario. Texas had three losses, so you couldn't put a 9-3 over a 10-3. But you could have moved Vanderbilt in if you hadn't moved Vanderbilt down. So Vanderbilt had just beaten Tennessee at Tennessee by 20 or whatever. So it just kind of They guaranteed it. They were not going to move Alabama out. That was kind of in the cards. I did want to say one thing about the basketball. I agree about what Brian said about the front court. I said to my brother before when I looked him up, they got the 7'2" guy. They got a 6'8", 235 pound. You know, just like Yoxelberg, they had a guy just like that, and then they had a bunch of 3-point shooters. That's the team that killed us in Vegas, and it's almost exactly the same. If we're not in the mix, I really think those two would be in the finals. So I do not feel bad. I think those two are legitimately the number one and two teams from every team I've seen this year by far. I did want to talk. I talked to one of the players this weekend who is on, you know, the people would keep putting up on there, this person's going to transfer, blah, blah, blah. And I was really surprised when I talked to him because they said, oh, no, there's no way I'm transferring. That we all want to stay pretty much. We all love Auburn. And our goal right now is to keep Deuce. So a person that the rumors that this person's leaving is not even thinking about leaving at all. So I would not listen to anything on the internet. I mean, other than, you know, there are going to obviously be some truth to some of them, but I don't think that our team is just wanting to leave. I don't believe that at all. I think Deuce, if anything, would be trying to, you know, make sure he got some NIL money. I would do that if I was him. So I would play a little hardball. So I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of acts like he doesn't want to stay. That would be smart for him, and it'd be smart all the way around. But I do think us keeping him would be humongous for Auburn, because if we had a guy who practiced under this system and immediately came in with his skill set the next year, that beats the heck out of trying to go to the transfer portal and try to bring in a guy that maybe doesn't run this offense. So to me, it would be worth it for Auburn to pony up a little bit just to make sure we do keep him, because it would be best for both of us. I believe that 100%.
Oh, I agree. And Auburn will pony up some money, but the amount of money you can offer backup compared to a starter is just different, and that could change things. We'll see.
Yeah, to me, that's where – well, see, Pat, I would say if you're you shouldn't – if you don't think Deuce is the answer next season, and then that's a question too for Alex Golish and his coaching staff, right? Like, you know, maybe they think they can win with Deuce Knight as the starting quarterback in 2026. If they don't – you can't prioritize him over somebody that you think can help you win in 2026, right? Like, that's where, you know, sort of those decisions have to be made. I agree with you. I think the best thing, whether or not he's the starter, best thing for Deuce Knight, best thing for Auburn, is sticking together and giving it more time, because it's tough to make that jump. And you want your quarterback to be as ready as possible when he steps into the starting role. Maybe Deuce Knight thinks he needs to be a starter in 26, and if it's not at Auburn, it's going to be somewhere else, right? Like, that's a decision for him to make. But no, I think it'd be great for Auburn and for Coach Golish and for Deuce Knight to find a way to you know, to make this thing work and to continue his development, even if he's not viewed as the starter and the answer next season.
Yeah, well, you think about it logically. If Deuce does stay, there's no way we're getting another big time quarterback to sit there, and nobody's going to come. I mean, sit behind those two guys, so he will be by far the de facto guy unless we bring in a guy the year after. But that's going to be kind of luck if some guy pops up in the portal, and then we got to trust that he's going to learn the offense really quick. So I mean, I just don't see either side wanting to go that route. I think if Deuce stays, I think he's 27 all day long, and 28 probably. So to me, it's just whether you want to go play at some smaller place, and I just don't. Everybody on the team loves Deuce, so I just feel like I think he's going to stay, because I think we just need to make it worth as well.
Do you see the upside, Pat? Do you see the upside if you're Alex Golish, if you have the opportunity to go get your quarterback from South Florida this past year and get him to come to Auburn?
I'm assuming he's doing that. I'm telling you right now, I think he's doing that.
Yeah,
that's a good assumption. I think you have to take Byron Brown, and I think Deuce has to understand that's with this road schedule. I just think if you're Deuce, you don't want to step into that. You don't want to try to learn the offense, step into that. Maybe you can do it. Maybe you can't. But to go, you know, 7-5, 8-4. But you bring in Byron Brown, we probably go 9-3, 10-2. Then you're Deuce. You walk in with the home schedule the next year. I mean, you're walking into a gold mine. I mean, that's just primes. You're primely set up, and there will be nobody that will really be able to compete with you. I mean, you would de facto, as long as you did your part, you would be the starter. I mean, there's, I just don't see how it wouldn't happen, you know. So Deuce, I feel like this is not a risky move for Deuce. This is more about, do you want to sit and learn? And that sucks because you already did that once. But I think this is more of a lock of a situation than before. I mean, before you were looking at, you know, what if the quarterback that we had, what if he would have done good? He'd be the starter next year. So he was probably going to sit 2 years anyway. If things had worked out the way that Freeze thought, you know.
Things worked out the way Freeze thought, Jackson Arnold would be moving on to the NFL this year. And Deuce would be competing for the job next year.
Instead, Hugh Freeze is moving on. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but I just my main comment was I was just surprised that it sounded like the team they all love Auburn so much that and they told me, and it's the same thing we tell people. You know, they come in, they've never been to Auburn, and they go, I don't understand it. And I'm like, yeah, it's impossible to understand.
That's exactly what Alex Golish talked about for a long time today, about every player that he's talked with said, you know, regardless of whether they played or didn't play, talked about how much the players loved Auburn.
And Cody talking, I mean, he's worked with Cody Burns for several years, and Cody always talking about
Auburn's a special place.
Auburn being special and different, and Alex Golish experiencing a little bit of that in his first week here in the area.
Yeah, when $30 million, that was not a bad thing to say either. So it just kind of makes you wonder where that money was last year. But anyway, that's a different story altogether. But anyway, War Eagle guys, thanks.
Appreciate it, Pat. I think Auburn spent some money last year. I think people have the idea that Auburn wasn't competitive NIL wise last year after they've seen the number 30
roster. Yes, the NIL issues happened late spring summer with this 2026 class that signed. Last week. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's something else. You know, folks might have believed, and that's, you know, when you hear players expressing, and again, we'll see what happens when the portal's open, but hearing players express loyalty to Auburn and to staying at Auburn, you know, I think there is a belief from some, kind of like with Jimbo Fisher's class at A&M, this thing was only being held together by money. And if that dries up, or if Hugh Freeze leaves, and the priorities change,
there'll be some to leave, no question. You know,
but I think that maybe more than, like, this thing was liable to break up a ton when Hugh Freeze gets let go and players get to, you know, have to make a decision with a new administration. We'll see what kind of roster shakeup you're looking at. But I think Alex Golish and his staff could be in position to keep a lot of those guys, a lot of those freshmen and sophomores that you'd be talking about being, you know, being important pieces, not just for 1 year, you know, for this Auburn team. You wonder how many of them Auburn might be able to hold on to.
All right, we need to get to our first break. Terry, hang on, you're up first when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
At affordable cost.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And let's get right back to the phones. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill, Dan, Brian, how y'all doing?
Great.
Good. What is Auburn's – I heard you guys talking a little bit about the offensive line. What is Auburn's future plans for left tackle? I know Xavier Chapman. I believe he's a junior.
I don't know what the immediate plans for this coming year are.
We have no idea. We talked about it. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made, and a lot of those decisions have to be made in the next 3 weeks.
A couple of weeks, really.
Yeah, before the portal opens, because they have to decide this guy's good enough to stay or compete for a starting spot or help us next year, or he's not. And, you know, do we need to fill this position in the portal or not?
So I thought, y'all mentioned his name. Is it Carter, Andre Carter?
DeAndre Carter's a guard. Yeah. He's a guard, though.
I thought he was going to be a left tackle, but I guess not. Nope. I think Bill said he was more a right tackle last year.
He's actually a guard. Yeah,
he's a guard.
Okay. Tyler Johnson's a guy that was, you know, trying to
assemble an offensive line. Like, I mean, I don't know if you guys have the rosters handy.
I do. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Trying to assemble an offensive line without adding anybody. Like, just using players. Assuming Chaplin you retain,
left tackle.
He's your left tackle.
Yep. Left guard would be Possibly.
Ty Buster, maybe, or
Cale Ellis.
Yeah, Cale Ellis, I was thinking. Then Connor Lewis, center. Right guard would be either DeAndre Carter or the freshman. Jacoby Ward.
Jacoby Ward, yeah.
Senda could be in that mix, too.
Tyler Johnson or somebody else. Ty Buster.
Yeah, that's true. There's some young guys. They aren't proven. I mean, mm-hmm. Connor Lewis, the only guy that we were talking about.
But is that
really
good enough?
Significant play. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Is Chaplin a junior?
He was a junior in eligibility this year. He
according
had one
to the roster,
year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you don't know whether he's going to go pro or not. I
doubt that.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. Keep him from jumping off sides. What does the future at tight end look like? The guy's a senior this year.
I think that room could be almost completely overturned.
I wouldn't be shocked at all if that's a place where, especially depending on sort of what Alex Golish wants out of his offense, if there's somebody not on the team right now in college football, maybe even someone from South Florida, that would fit immediately as a starter. Look, they have two freshmen.
Hollis Davidson, Ryan Ryan G.
He played some.
So we don't know exactly how they're going to fit in.
Hollis had a difficult first year at Auburn, so it's like you don't know exactly if they feel like there's now they signed one of the freshman signees was a tight end, right? One of the guys who switched from
Broughton, but he looks to me like a developmental guy that's going to put on weight.
So yeah. I would think that could be a spot where Auburn goes fishing.
Oh, I think
that'll be a priority
for that.
Yep.
Yeah, Brian, were you surprised that Perry Thompson announced he's going into the portal?
No. I think Horatio Fields is now been confirmed that he is leaving. I think that wide receiver room is going to change a ton. I think you'll see Auburn hit the portal for some help there. I could see some former South Florida receivers.
Well, I think they'd love to have at least a couple of their former receivers.
So I think Auburn would love to keep, of course, Cam Coleman, of course, Malcolm Simmons, maybe a couple of the young guys, but we'll see with the rest.
Yeah. You guys have a great day.
I see where the release came, and the first five official additions to Alex Golish's staff have been announced. No surprises here. As a matter of fact, doesn't even include Cody Burns.
Yeah. Wow.
Alex Golish didn't point out today. Yeah. Is going to be
there. He was there at the opening press conference.
Yeah, he was. He was.
A week ago.
All right. So the five that are announced today are DJ Durkin, who we knew.
Yeah.
Joel Gordon, who he talked about today, is going to be his offensive coordinator and quarterback coach.
Yep.
Todd Hudanik, who is the offensive line coach and run game coordinator. Mm. Brad Wilson, who will be a defensive assistant. I don't know if that means on the field.
I think it does.
And then Andrew Warsaw, who's the GM.
I think they just haven't determined what position Brad Wilson is coaching.
And on the offense, I think notable that without the announcement of Cody Burns, KB, on the staff, you don't have a receivers coach or running backs coach.
Right.
I know that Justin Ferguson wrote in his newsletter in the last couple of hours that there is belief that maybe Marcus Davis could stick around, and the way that would occur would be either one of those guys, either Cody or Marcus, coaching running backs.
It might not necessarily be an on-field coaching spot for everyone as well.
We'll see.
Right. I know there was a mention about the possibility of Marcus maybe staying on
He's
the new staff
still around at the moment,
and the fact that with Cody has experience coaching a couple of different position groups,
yes, mainly
Cody,
receiver but also running back.
Marcus staying as receivers coach and Cody coaching running backs, I think could be on the table potentially. You know, we'll see what they end up doing. But we know. I mean, we heard it from the horse's mouth.
He did point that out today.
Like Cody's on the staff, even if he's not in the announcement right now. And as Brian,
I think it's because there is no specific. They're not ready to say his specific duties.
And as Brian just mentioned, Marcus Davis is still hard at work as well. So I mean, we'll see.
We'll see where what happens.
We'll see what happens.
We'll know soon. I think they want this. Most of the big ones finalized here in the next few days.
334-321-1390. Who do we have up next?
James.
Hey, James.
Hey, guys. So, I can't. I was going to say some things, but I can't now because y'all have talked about it already. But I will. I do agree with everything that has been said. The one thing I will point out, and this is something I believe Josh Pate said last week on his show, I want to say it was him. He said, in this, he was speaking not just of Auburn, but of any university. You can't be held to any player. No player is above Auburn or anybody else. So if one of our players, current players, doesn't like what we're doing because we're bringing in somebody else that's going to compete with them, that's, they've got to understand it's the team and we're going to do this together. You're not, one of you's not going to be better than the other. I mean, we're trying to win championships. We're not trying to have a popularity contest. So, I mean, and I'm not saying some of them ain't deserving of a bigger NIL contracts than some others. That's not what I'm saying. Just they can't be silly enough to think, oh, well, I'm the man. I'm the only one. I'm going to be here in this position room. I mean,
well, and as Brian like that, as so. Brian was pointing out a while ago, I mean, there will be limits as to, you know, people may think, well, oh, if there's a $30 million NIL situation, Auburn can handle anything. Well, no, you can't.
No,
I mean, and there will be a limit to as to what you can do if you project someone to be your number two guy.
And even if Auburn is going to have a $30 million roster, and I will believe when I see it, no offense to anybody out there, I'll believe when I see it, okay? Most of the other top schools in the country in the SEC are going to have the same or similar. So let's not get out of the way that Auburn's
going to
be some, you know, the pariah.
Auburn's going to have more than anybody, no.
Like, let's use two examples in particular. And again, we don't know if this is exactly what happened, but let's Perry Thompson. Being reported that Perry Thompson might be going into the portal.
He is going to the portal.
Okay. Perry Thompson, was paid, I think, largely on the basis of his potential for 2 years.
Right.
And it would be understandable if, with only 2 years left in his college football career and having played more now, like if a new coaching staff didn't necessarily agree with the assessment of the previous coaching staff about his value or wanted to renegotiate what Perry had been making, and if Perry wanted to test the market elsewhere, these things happen in sports, and it's one or more people had decided that their priorities had changed. It's totally understandable that ends with Perry on a new team. In the example of Deuce, which I think is sort of you were referring to there, like, quarterback's a little bit different, right? Because only one of them really plays. And if a guy, if Auburn wants to prioritize someone who projects as a starter in 2026, I could understand any of the current quarterbacks thinking, well, maybe I should use my opportunity in the portal to go somewhere else. And I don't know if that's necessarily selfish in a way that's sort of outside the norm of college athletics now, and I don't think that's unethical or anything. It would be it'd be unfortunate, because I think folks would like to see these guys stick around even if only one of them can start. But I can understand Alex Golish, feeling like he has to do the whatever it takes to hit the ground running as an offense in 2026 as well.
And let me make this clear one more time: Deuce Knight is not a diva. He doesn't think he's better than anybody else. If he leaves, it's because he's going to get what he feels is a better opportunity. Okay, I mean, people are trying to.
Well, it didn't make look. Was Walker a diva? Because he left after his freshman year and went to Baylor instead of sticking around when Auburn went in a different direction. No. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's what happens now. Yeah. I mean, look at the best quarterbacks in college football. How many of them are on the team that they signed with out of high school?
That's a very good point. I mean, and that's the thing to keep in mind. It's not necessarily they're dissing your school or things like that. It's
this football
is the way of life right now.
Especially at that position.
I was just referring to it in a general sense.
Sure,
Dan. The only thing I'll add to it, and I'll hang up and listen to y'all's responses on it, is I was going to ask Brian. But, I mean, y'all, I want all y'all's opinion on it. With it being $30 million, I've been told over the last couple of weeks it was 30, 32, or 35.
Oh, it's going up.
Kind of very fair.
we give that much to trick-or-treaters, right? I mean, that's nothing to us.
How does that play into, okay, it's $30 million,
And now we have the scholarship increase from 85 to 105,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
How does it all run together now? Like, are we keeping 105 players on the roster and they all get scholarships and NIL? Or
no.
I mean, how does that all factor in together?
I don't think Auburn's going to go that high. But, you know, you're normally paying, say, the top 30 to 40 guys or so.
Yeah, some of the guys.
Big bucks.
Yeah, especially.
Right?
I don't know how in-depth right. Jeremy wants us to go. I will say this.
I would think that some of the guys you signed to get up to 105, they're happy to get that scholarship.
Yeah, right. James, I would say that you're going to see more dudes driving, like, rocket ships around Auburn's campus. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's yeah. – I mean, look, and I'm not out here saying college athletes don't deserve it, right? Like, I mean, if ESPN's going to pay – what ESPN's going to pay to broadcast these games – yeah, I'm fine with an SEC team paying its roster $25 or $30 million, you know, to play a season. But it is, I would think that it's what you're going to have is tremendous, tremendous eye popping sorts of deals for the best guys, and then I think there could be a really large middle, right, where it's like, how much is that guy really worth? Would he get a ton from somebody else, or is he someone you love to have him, you know, but is he someone who's going to have crazy value on the market else? Like, Auburn's got some players that there would be a tremendous market for. And then I think there's a lot of other guys where it's an open question of, you know, what kind of, what kind of desire there would be on the, you know, versus what they would get staying at Auburn. And yeah, I think who you think I'm, as far as the most valuable guys, those are the guys, you know, those are the ones that I would imagine Auburn's going to be ready to spend the most to retain.
Yeah, and see, I agree with that totally, but that's the reason why I made the point the other day, and I took a lot of flack for it, and I apparently offended a bunch of people, but I'm sorry. I suggested Auburn committing to a full law school and medical school, but I mean, you do that, you bring in more money, you have more, you got more people trying to donate to Auburn, I mean that's academia, but in the future you're creating yourself more money for more donors to possibly come out of those areas to help donate to the school. In the future, you're building a future of donators, you know, people that can donate money to the NIL, because, you know, a plumber ain't going to be able to donate $100 million, you know. I mean, plumbers get paid good, but we're not talking about that. We need to be investing in other revenues to potentially pay off in the future. But, you know, it's just, that was just my opinion on it. So, you know, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Interesting stuff, James. Thanks for the call. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in, and it's Monday, and Brian's here. We've got to find out about his Monday musings before we're out of time as well. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Monday. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. We'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports wise? You want to talk, you know, football? We got a little. We got an extended time with Alex Golish today.
55 you know, or so minutes, I think, was, or, it was, or
it,
so.
It's
yeah.
it's as long as I as long a press conference yeah. as I've ever been involved with there for, I mean, this
he
like football
thoroughly answers questions.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I mentioned at the beginning, it's not filler.
I didn't feel like he was trying to, I'm going to fill 30 minutes and we're out of here, because he was still going strong.
And that's really important, is that, like, it's not just, it was not trying to eat away time and then, hey, we're out of time, and he avoids having to talk. He'll talk about anything. I think especially right now, because he can be more vague and more he can be. He doesn't have to get into names and mm-hmm. specifics in that regard. He can talk more about the philosophy. He was willing to answer just about anything. And I'm excited by how he's laid the plan out pretty clearly. Excited to see how it who he can hold on to, who he gets into the fold, and how it looks when the when we get to see it in action.
334-321-1390. Let's get back to the Drive hotline, and Anthony is up next. Hey, Anthony.
Hey guys, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Do you guys honestly believe that they have the 12 best teams in the playoffs this time around?
I mean, no. You can't have Sam. You can't have Tulane and James Madison in there and think they're the 12 best teams.
No. Or Sam, whatever you're about
Sam
to call
Madison.
Them. Yeah, Dolly Madison.
Yeah, Dolly Madison.
Were you about to? Yeah,
I don't know what I was going with that.
I don't know if the goal when you put in these prerequisites, I don't know if the goal is the 12 best teams. Because you're,
it ought to be the 12 most deserving. And Dan, you've been saying it for a long time, and Brian, I'm pretty sure you agree. Look, I would be much more interested in watching Tulane and James Madison compete in a Group of Five
yep.
championship. Mm-hmm. I'd watch a lot of those ball
yep,
games.
Me too.
I'd
That'd
watch
be fun.
Those more than I'd watch it, most of the bowl games, now, if yeah. not all the bowl games.
At the same time, I can't imagine like what a thrill it must be, even with their coaches leaving. I imagine for James Madison fans and for Tulane fans to have this.
Is, but they're gonna get pounded.
They probably are. Although, 16 seeds got pounded in the NCAA tournament, right? Until UMBC came along and won one. So I'm with you. But at the same time, I do sort of think that if you're gonna have requirements for the smaller conferences, maybe 12's not the right number, right? Like if you're gonna say that you gotta include a couple of the smaller conference champions, maybe the number probably should be 16
should
or more.
Should be 16. Or, yep. Stop at 16, please.
Because there's no way that Vanderbilt should not have been in this playoff. I mean, they played about as well as anybody could have played football this year. And you consider now, this is Vanderbilt to win four non-conference games and then win six conference games, mm-hmm. finish up at 10-2 and just totally embarrass Tennessee. And in my lifetime of watching football, since the days of Pat Dye and in the latter part of Coach Bryant's tenure in Alabama, I don't recall Vanderbilt ever winning it like that. Now, Bill, you've been around longer than I have, and you've seen a lot of football.
No, this is the first time they've ever won 10 games, Anthony. Anthony, this is the first time they have ever won 10 games. So, I mean, they, before our time, way, way back, I mean, they were really good, pre-World War II.
I think
that's about it.
I think he's winning the Heisman on Saturday.
I think he should.
I think Pavi is winning the Heisman on Saturday, Anthony.
He had my vote if I had a vote.
He should, but I'm going to tell you something. Based on what I saw this committee with this playoff, I think the people, the guys that vote for the Heisman, these sports writers and whatnot, I think they're going to be right in line to go ahead and give it to the Indiana quarterback. They got a bye going in the playoffs or whatnot. I think it's just to hype that up more and to get more eyes on it. And I think they're gonna pretty much go in that direction. I just don't see it. I mean, if you can't let a team like that, when you think about the academic standards at Vanderbilt, that hindered their recruiting right there. I mean, that probably cut out about 50 or 60, maybe 70% of players they can't even sign. If you think about it, versus everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, Diego Pavia is. How important is he to that team? I mean, look, Indiana made the playoffs last year without Fernando.
Yeah, and I got
what did Vandy do before Diego got there?
And it's Auburn's luck, by the way. If Mendoza and Pavia are your top two Heisman quarterbacks this year, it's like we saw both
of
them.
They're the two guys that came in from out west that nobody knew anything about and beat them
before they were stars. Yeah, you run into both of them as non-conference opponents. In the last couple of seasons, but I think that Vanderbilt's head-to-head resume against Miami's is a really interesting debate too, as far as who accomplished more, who had more impressive wins. I know you don't want to shut the ACC out of this thing entirely, but I don't know.
The thing is, as much flack as the ACC gets, again, it's not Group of Five.
Well, guys, I think it's just time to expand it.
No, they're getting close. You're right.
Why not just go ahead and say, look, we're going each conference gonna have a Cinderella team. We just, each conference gonna have a Cinderella team. If you gotta have a play in or however you dress it up, each conference has at least one Cinderella team, and I think that that would solve that problem.
Well, you know what I think a lot of people would like, Anthony, is if there were their complaints, you know, about you know, the Chiefs not making the playoffs this year. Well, you got to do a certain thing to do it.
Wait,
you
who's complaining about the Chiefs not making the playoffs this year?
Oh, I heard something.
What's going on?
There are a couple of folks on ESPN saying they really are better than this. They, you know, they're talented enough that they ought to be in. Now, there's nothing you can do about it, though.
Yeah, well, that's
the thing. But in college, there is still more subjectivity. What I'm saying is there are a lot of people that would like there to be, all right, here's what you have to do to make the playoffs. You win this one and this one and this one, but it's impossible with 300, you know, with 130 something.
I agree
teams.
With you, Bill. And if you go back to the original plan the SEC had for having all these automatic bids, right, and not all these at-large bids,
right,
and you know, having play-in games. That eliminates a ton of this dumb stuff the committee does, right?
Yes, indeed. You have it all does. These, and you don't have the subject. You're set. Wondering about are they adjusting the formulas just to try to get this team in?
And I think that the thing people find distasteful about that plan would be if you guarantee, you know, four spots to a conference. It's like, first of all, is the conference
every
worthy
division in the NFL is guaranteed one, right?
Guaranteed one, right? But the thought that like you're going to say
have eight divisions,
four spots for the Big Ten, four spots for the SEC, and then you have what, the 7 seed versus the 3 seed for a spot on
3,
conference
6, champ. 4, 5.
Yeah, you do stuff like that on the
I still like that better than what we have now.
Oh, I do much better. Even though it was an interesting championship weekend, I would have been more interested in watching play-in games than some of those games we saw.
Yes.
Some of those matchups.
Yes, me too.
Now next year Notre Dame, as long as they're ranked at least 12th, they guaranteed a spot, right?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Part of it, though, they've had that. That was part of their deal.
Yeah, I wonder what sort of changes we'll see immediately after the season's over. Whether it's
there's going to be some.
Whether it's conference championship game weekend or even a push to put some more teams in the college football playoff.
Oh, I think G5 should be worried.
Yeah, I think I would not talk about anything after this season as an absolute. Based on what we've seen over the last couple of days.
But, you know, to see them just totally turn down going bowling because they didn't make the big dance, I mean, I don't understand. That's money that they turning down that they could have got direct to their program without sharing in any kind of conference sharing. I mean, they just totally turned that money down.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Hey, great hearing from you, Anthony.
Take my ball and go home. That's Notre Dame.
Well, I guess they figure they've got enough, and they don't have to do it. But I do understand that a lot of the players, especially right after they find out they're not in, they have no desire to go play somebody else when they feel like they're good enough to be in.
But they would have a couple weeks to.
Yeah, I know.
I would hope we're moving towards, like, the playoff is one thing, but all these other we should be moving towards direct compensation for the players.
Yes.
Right?
It's if like the Bulls want to survive, they got to go NIL Bulls.
Players era. You better be ready to players era
this
thing.
That's their only chance.
And maybe Notre Dame makes a different decision. Maybe some of the 5-7 teams that turn down bowl opportunities because they want to focus on roster construction. The players want to stay healthy for the portal or the draft or for next season. You know, maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see different decisions made there. But yeah, that's just not. That feels incompatible with the modern era of college football.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. We'll check in on Brian's Monday musings and more when we come back for the final segment of the Monday Drive.
Outfitters is helping you gear up for cooler weather with new styles.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Monday Drive. And again, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com here with us. And we love that he's in on the day that he has his musings. I mean,
such fun.
What were the athletics?
I talked about three things. I talked about how I the idea of Tulane and James Madison being in the playoffs seemed like a cool, fun thing, you know? But when you actually look at it, it's not really that entertaining to me.
I mean, I hope that the games they play are competitive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've got Tulane in a rematch with Ole Miss, who already beat them by 45, 5 10, touchdowns.
And to be clear, I don't think the answer is a 12-team playoff without any group of five teams in it. Like, I don't think this – oh, well, we have 12 –
I mentioned a group of five playoff would be awesome.
Yeah, I think a group of five playoff, or if you insist on including the group of five teams, just making sure that you're not also excluding.
Don't leave out the deserving Power Four teams.
And if that's pushing the playoff number to 16 or to 24 or to 32, I think
buys anymore.
But you know
go
what? Now that you're offering home games. I wonder if a team would rather play a home game in the playoff than have a bye. So,
yep. Well, look at last year, the teams that drew byes.
Yep.
All right. Y'all ready?
There was bye-bye.
Also mentioned how the weekly shows kind of undermined the credibility of the entire college football.
Oh, absolutely.
And that needs to change. And then I talked about Notre Dame and them taking their ball home. Okay, so this week's musical journey, we're going back 43 years, 1982.
Okay.
82.
Okay. This is the death of a country music icon who was a World War II veteran and drove in 35 NASCAR races. That probably gives
it away. I think I know who it is.
Is it a who?
I think it's Roy Clark's buddy. It's not Buck?
No.
Who is it?
I don't think. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Oh, then it's out in the West Texas town of El Paso.
Yep, that's it. That's his hit song.
I can see him.
Marty Robbins.
Marty Robbins. Yeah. Marty Robbins.
Never would have gotten it.
Marty Robbins was, you're right.
But El Paso was his hit song, was a crossover hit. Number one on the Hot Country and Billboard 100 back in the day. So
I got the song. I couldn't think of his name.
But drove in 35 NASCAR races and loved to drive at Talladega and Daytona. Loved the big track. So,
yeah, he did. I've forgotten about that.
So that's pretty cool. Was in the Navy, taught himself to play guitar way back in the day, and then just started out playing in local bars before he sort of hit it big. Had a great career. Was the CMA Artist of the Decade in the 60s. Which is pretty impressive. Won 2 Grammy Awards and Songwriters Hall of Fame. So a terrific career for him. He passed away in 82, and that was shortly after the movie with Clint Eastwood, Honky Tonk Man, came out, which is named after one of his songs.
Oh, well. Yep, Marty Robbins had just about forgotten about him. Yep. Brian, you don't know what direction Brian's going every week.
I try to dig deep.
With his musical musings. Dig deep. All right, Brian, we're running up against time here. So, I mean, it is still there is a lot going on. I mean, yes. As we've talked about today, just talk about some of the things folks can find and how they can keep up with everything you guys are doing there.
Yeah, and we were there earlier today for Alex Golish's press conference, 55 minutes. We've already cranked out a bunch of stories from that. We'll continue to do so. Plus, you can watch the full video on our site, tracking the roster moves right now. What's happening is you can't actually enter the portal, but you can say that
declare.
You're going to declare. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've got that going on. Horatio Fields is the latest to say he's leaving. All that more, auburnsports.com. Sign up online for a trial there. You can follow me on Twitter, SSX at BMATAU.
Great stuff, Brian. Thanks again, man. We will see you next week.
Sounds great.
Andy Burcham joins us tomorrow as we get started on the Tuesday drive, but we're out of time here on the Monday edition. So we'll talk to you then. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.